I've been tasked with talking to you about seeds today during the first series in our summer worship plan. And I've chosen to talk about seeds from two different aspects. Seeds are designed, in fact, for waiting, and seeds are information. In fact, seeds are stories, really, of how to live.
It is in these two dimensions of seeds, their ability to wait for the right conditions, and their ability to bring to life an entirely unique way of living, that embody why so many of us consider seeds to be metaphors of hope. As a high school teacher, my students in our ecology club developed a native plant growing program in a greenhouse project, and our mantra was faith in a seed, borrowed from Henry David Thoreau's writing. I do not believe a plant will spring up where no seed has been. I have great faith in a seed. Convince me that you have a seed there, and I'm prepared to expect wonders. Seeds indeed bring wonders to our world. But where are these wonders when there is such darkness? Seeds stay and they wait in the darkness, which for some feels interminably long. We are feeling currently deep sadness and despair as we watch our world groan with the pain of injustice. Where are the seeds of hope? Let us return to that, but first I want to explore the nature of seeds. Seeds are designed for waiting. Almost by definition, all seeds include a period of waiting, sometimes long, sometimes brief. The weeds in our life are just that because those species' seeds persist in the soil for so long, like these pokeweed seeds, which can persist for almost 100 years. 100 years is short, though, relative to other species. Recently, a seed was excavated from under the permafrost in Siberia, and it was later dated to be 32,000 years old. In fact, the more astonishing fact was that it germinated when planted. As a comparison, scientists also found a nearly perfectly preserved head of a 30,000-year-old wolf. However, it is an entirely different challenge to resurrect a wolf from that tissue. I tell you, seeds should fill us with wonder. Evolution developed seeds as a strategy for a species to tolerate unfavorable and changing conditions. Disturbances like drought or flooding, fire, trampling, or, as in this photo, deep winters with aching cold. Seeds are a means to bring forth new life in the midst of these challenges. They are, in one sense, very patient, waiting for just the right conditions, cues, really, that indicate the timing is right to flourish. The cues are about as diverse as the plants, and there are many stimuli that bring an end to the waiting, and with that, germination. Some seeds wait and even want to be eaten. For example, you probably wondered, perhaps, why old fence lines are filled with trees like mulberries and black cherry. Well, birds love these species, and while sitting on a fence line watching the evening sunset, they poop out their dinner, which includes undigested seeds. So even a casual observer can, in fact, find evidence of old fence lines long after the barbed wire and fence posts are gone by simply looking for lines of towering 80-year-old black cherry or mulberry trees. And you could come visit our farm if you need proof of that. As in this photo, the Osage orange tree produces a seed that is huge. It's like a softball. It's an immense brain-like blob of nutrients and food for the new emerging tree. It evolved as kind of a game with mega herbivores. If the seed is tasty enough, a large woolly mammoth, or in this case, a giant ground sloth, will eat the fruit and assist in moving the seed to a new home, away from the parent tree, which avoids competition with mom and dad. Trees that produced bigger fruits reproduced better, and the game continued on and on. In fact, some ecologists contend that these seeds do not germinate unless they pass through the hindgut of a mega herbivore, like a woolly mammoth. In fact, without these grazers today, the Osage orange is in rapid decline and is now mainly planted by humans. Some seeds wait not for herbivores, but for fire. They grow best in the environmental conditions that arise after a fire has cleared away competing vegetation. But how does a plant know that the competition is gone? One of my favorite grasses, red oat grass in this photo, dominates the savannas of East Africa, particularly after a fire. This is in part because the grass germinates best after being exposed to smoke. Not so much the heat, but the smoke. You can trick these seeds into germinating simply by placing them in a vessel filled with smoke. They rest in the soil bank, waiting for the cue of a fire, which suggests the conditions above ground will be ideal for their success. Closer to home in the United States, there's an entire class of trees that have what are called serotonous cones. These are pine cones, usually pine cones, that only break open when they reach a certain temperature after a fire. Without fire, these very species decline and disappear from the forest. In some biomes, fires return only rarely, perhaps only every 100 years. So the cones wait it out till that morning, that single morning, when things are different. The rolling flames purge through the stand, killing mostly everything in their path, but releasing hope in the form of these tiny seeds that fall like rain from the blackened trees to start the cycle over again. There are other trees that wait for rain. In Chile's Atacama Desert, more than 200 species of wildflowers bloom on average every 5 to 7 years, depending on the sporadic and rare rainfalls that occur in one of the Earth's driest deserts. In fact, this desert receives just a half an inch per year. These species then, in fact, spend most of their time waiting beneath the soil before blooming and depositing more seeds in the seed bank for coming years, preparing for the next desert bloom. In addition to seeds having this trait of waiting, seeds, in fact, are stories because they contain information about how to make a life. In fact, after the waiting comes the thriving. Seeds impressively contain the entire instructional guideline for how to make a living for a particular species. Astonishingly, a seed contains the wisdom of eons of time that helps a plant prepare for the conditions it might meet in its lifetime. How fast to grow, when to go dormant, what to do when attacked by insects, how to respond to disturbances, and even when to die. For the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Each time a hiker walks through the iconic redwood forest in the Pacific Northwest, they're struck with the breadth of these stories. These stories that culminate with a 300-foot redwood tree, which guards the coastline, in fact, literally guards the coastline as they prevent shoreline erosion, with girths of 15 to 20 feet in diameter. Such stories started with a tiny pinecone seed, the redwood seed that bounced to the forest floor, perhaps some 800 to even up to 1500 years ago. These stories, though, vary considerably. The stories of seeds in the ephemeral wildflowers in our prairies that burst forth after fire in the spring rains tell their story much more rapidly within just several years.
So what does all this mean for us? Can we have faith in a seed? What about our lives and these metaphors of hope? In what ways are our lives like seeds? Perhaps particularly during these times, it may help us to take notice of these little things, of how our lives mirror the metaphors that seeds offer. Firstly, many of us likely feel in a stage of waiting. This waiting can surely feel dark, filled with doubt. Will the conditions in which our community thrived before ever return? This new environment foisted upon us by the pandemic is not completely different from what a seed experiences when waiting for spring, or waiting for the rain, or waiting for the fire that it so desperately needs. Its time is not now. Its ideas and ways of making life must be stored until a later time. But in this very waiting, we define hope because we are waiting for something anticipated, something good and wholesome that leads to flourishing, that leads to growth. Periods of this waiting help us define, in fact, what it is that we need and maybe what our story is all about. During our waiting in the pandemic, we may have realized that our, quote, growing conditions really do include deep social connection, spontaneous potlucks, and even hugs from friends. We are reminded of our unique stories when we are in dormancy, experiencing the pain of waiting.
But as evidenced in the last several weeks, there's something more about seeds and their waiting that we can consider. Each of our lives is a story, like a seed in a way, with periods of waiting and periods of explosion bringing forth something new. And often it is the environment that changes, that cues our particular story to grow into something powerful and strong. With the tragic death of George Floyd, something has cracked open. A small seed of life, a small spark has created the growth of a movement, a desert spring flowering. New seeds and stories are sprouting all around us. Why? The environment is slowly changing, and it's time. Waiting is over. The seed germinating disturbance in which we find ourselves is for some a new environment. For others, a realization they have been living with daily for decades. Their drought is now our drought, a drought of systemic racism and powerful forces where a privileged majority have soaked up a disproportionate share of the resources. But the rains, they are sweeping the country, and new growth in our communities is flourishing with a multitude of stories. It is time for these new stories to fully take root, and it is all of our jobs to create the conditions in which those seeds germinate. Faith in a seed means tending the environment. It's more than just planting the seed. We have to tend the environment to encourage those new seeds to thrive. What are the cues that we can perpetuate to spawn a new community of richness? We will need disturbances like prairie fires, nonviolent protests, sit-ins, voting, boycotts. We're also going to need new soil conditions to foster new stories. We're going to need laws to promote health care, educational equity, safety for everyone. We're going to need to reconsider our own stories and limit competing for scarce resources. This could happen through volunteering, funding justice work, limiting our consumption, listening before speaking. The March prairie fires on our farm are a distant memory, but the waiting is over, and new prairie species are flourishing. A new season has come. Go forth and help create the conditions necessary for other stories to germinate and flourish. Amen.